Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 34 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I'm really glad to be here speaking with you today. And today, this is a very exciting topic for me. This is all about cosmetics and the beauty industry. And the reason why I want to talk about this topic today with you all is because it's a really important part of our hormonal health is considering the things we put on our skin and what happens to them in the body. And also the sort of social element to this in terms of how we want to look, etc. So we're going to be talking about that. And it's also really interesting because I've spoken about this topic before on Instagram, and it's always the most popular videos and the most played topics on my social media is this topic of cosmetics and clean beauty. And I will be talking about it again. I usually talk about it in my courses and in my one-to-one spaces as well, because it's really important. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you that I have some space for one-to-one coaching available. And I'm really excited to announce that I have been working in my business towards being able to offer more affordable rates for people who struggle to afford coaching. And so I have some grants available for people who are under earners or who are economically disadvantaged, members of the BIPOC and LGBTQ plus communities, and single mothers. So if you can identify with any of those groups and would like some financial support and would like to do some one-to-one work with me, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Or if you are someone who really wants to do coaching and really aligns with the way that I work, but you can't afford it at this time, then just let me know. You can send me over a consult application on my website. Visit the link in the show notes, lisadioncoaching.com. And yeah, the reason why I'm offering that is because I've been able to get my business to a place of a bit more sustainability to be able to offer that. And that's been a big goal of mine this year. So I'm really excited about that. So let's get talking about cosmetics and the beauty industry. And before I go into kind of the theory of all this and, you know, the information, I want to just share a little bit about my personal story. So, and hopefully, like, as I share this, it might take you down your own memory lane of thinking about your relationship with cosmetics and, you know, beauty and maybe makeup and things like that. So I remember growing up, my mom always had a dressing table in her bedroom. She still has a dressing table in her bedroom, but it's apparently my friend Marie, who's recently moved into her own house, messaged me and told me that she's struggling to find a dressing table. Apparently they're kind of hard to come by in furniture stores where you can like sit down at them and put your makeup on. Anyway, that aside, my mum always had a dressing table, and it was always filled with, well, she had a jewelry box, and then she had all these lotions and potions, and she had nail varnish and makeup remover and makeup and hand creams and all these bottles and tubes on her dressing table. And I just remember from a very young age when I would say take a nap or rest and my mother was there, or if my mum was resting, I would say to her, "Mum, can I put cream on your hands?" And I would take one of her creams and just rub it into her hand. And that was kind of fun for me, was to like squeeze this cream out of the tube and put it on her hand and rub it in, and I don't know, I guess play beauty with her a little bit. Now, I wasn't putting makeup on myself or anything, but it was just my first memory when I think about cosmetics and the beauty industry. And I think it's an interesting thing to think about when we think about women and people who are socialized as women and people who are raised as women and people who are born girls, to think about our, you know, how far does our relationship with beauty and with image and with makeup and with our face and how we present ourselves physically to the world. Like, how far back does that go? And, you know, what relationship did our mother have with that? And what relationship did our grandmother have with that? And I also remember wearing, I never knew my maternal grandmother, but my mother had some of her clothes left over. And we had a dressing up box, and some of her dresses were in our dressing up box when I was younger. So there was this beautiful, like, gown, this white lace gown with a black and white corset top. And I used to put it on, and that was one of our costumes, which is kind of a bit terrible that we did that. But at least we wore it. And I remember that very distinctly for if we wanted to play princess or, you know, these things. So it's an interesting thing to think about, is to go back and consider our relationship with all this and where this comes from. What did we learn and what did we take on board? And then as I grew older, I remember my dad saying to us as kids and to my mom, like, his story was that he had bad acne as a teenager, and he really struggled with confidence around his skin and his acne. And so he then told my mother as his wife to, if his kids, as in me and my siblings, if we got acne, that they would help us with that they would deal with that, so that we wouldn't have to go through what he went through. And so what happened then was my mom then brought me to get facials from quite a young age, because my skin wasn't that bad, but I was getting, you know, just the usual, like, teenage spots and clogged pores and that kind of thing when you're younger. And she brought me for facials because, you know, she was listening to my dad and didn't want that to happen to me, and was trying to protect me. But then what happened as a result of that was that this, you know, I had this focus on my skin from quite a young age. And, you know, it was like I had internalized this message that I wasn't allowed to have acne, and that if I had acne, then I would be struggling with confidence, etc. And so then I became overly sensitive to how my skin looked from quite a young age. And then with my story with period pain and endometriosis, if you've listened to that, I think that was episode 2 or 3, I was put on the pill then in my teens. And one of the side effects that I got from the contraceptive pill was, after about a year of being on it, I got really, really bad cystic acne, which took a long time to clear. So I had that very painful cystic acne in my late teens, then going into university. And for me, that was very difficult, because that was a time when you're coming out of, you know, school, and you're going into university, and you want to look good, and you're dating and all that kind of thing. And so I then had kind of developed a bit of a dysmorphic relationship with my skin. And I think that I thought it was worse than it was, and really struggled with it. And I used to put on a lot of coverage and makeup, etc., and kind of came to this place of feeling like it was hard for me to leave the house without makeup, etc. And I know a lot of people who are listening might feel the same, because that is quite a common issue that happens to young women and girls when they start wearing makeup, is they see the power of makeup, they see the power of beauty, because it is a power, but then it becomes their only power, and it becomes our only, you know, connection to our power and our independence and our sense of selves. And then we rely on it, and then it can be very difficult to unmask ourselves and come out into the world without it. So that's sort of my brief history of my relationship with skincare and makeup. And also, yes, skincare, which is separate to makeup. That was another thing, because I was going for these facials, the beauticians were always selling me products and lotions and potions and this and that and the other. And this is the thing you need to try next in order to get rid of your bad skin. So that was, I believe, not a healthy relationship with my skin and with skincare and with makeup. Yes, it was what it needed to be at the time, but at the time I wasn't as psychologically and emotionally aware as I am today, obviously. But ultimately, I felt under a lot of pressure to have good skin and under a lot of pressure to look a certain way, never mind the other pressures that I experienced and that people and girls experience in their teens. So it was very, very difficult. And, you know, it wouldn't have been something I would have talked about really, except for to my mother. And then obviously there was like a lot of perfectionism and not good enoughness interwoven in all of that dynamic. So yeah, that's my story. And the reason I want to talk about that now is because the skincare industry and the cosmetics industry, like, don't get me wrong, like, I love skincare. And I love cosmetics and I love makeup. And I think it can be a really, really amazing thing that we have in our lives, and it can be a lovely self-care tool. It can be a really nourishing relationship that we have with it. And makeup as well, like makeup can help you to feel confident and it can help you to look good and look your best. But then there's this shadow side of, you know, not good enoughness and perfectionism and trying to change who we are and trying to look a certain way. And that's kind of what I want to discuss today. So when I then embarked on my healing, my hormones journey, to put it simply, in my 20s, I picked up a book called Woman Code, written by an amazing person, lady called Elisa Viti, which I'll link the book in the show notes. And it's a book I talk about a lot in my work. But after reading that book, and it was the first book I read, and it was very early on, I think like I read the book the year it was published, and no one was doing this work. No one was talking about hormones. No one was talking about menstrual cycle awareness and cyclical living. I know Red School were only a very small organization at the time. And I read this book, and in the book, she talks a lot about, she does talk about cyclical living and she talks about diet. But one of the things that I hadn't thought about yet was the cosmetics industry, the makeup industry, and the cleaning products industry, and how our skin is the biggest organ in our body, and anything that comes near our skin does get absorbed. And that's fine and that's normal, and we have our liver and our gut and our kidneys to clean and cleanse toxins from our body. But we do live in this society where we're overloading ourselves with toxins, and that puts a lot of pressure on our liver. And then what happens is, when our liver is under a lot of pressure because we've put so much crap on our skin, then it struggles to properly detox our hormones, and then we get this hormone imbalance, and then that can lead to inflammation and hormonal problems, which I'll talk about in a little bit more detail in a minute. But yeah, so what I realized was like, oh my God, holy shit, I've been, you know, using all these very harmful chemicals on my body and in my body without knowing about it. And I got very angry, because in her book, she talks about, I'm not going to list them here because I'm not a scientist, but she lists all of the different chemicals that are known as endocrine disruptors. And an endocrine disruptor means it disrupts the endocrine system. So it's essentially a chemical that is found in a lot of cosmetics, makeup, and household cleaning products that we either inhale or ingest or absorb via our skin. And they then mimic estrogen. So they create an excess of one of our sex hormones. So they mimic a fake version of estrogen, these chemicals called xenoestrogens in the body. And then what happens is we end up with something called estrogen dominance, where we have too much estrogen in relation to the other sex hormone called progesterone. And when we have too much estrogen in relation to progesterone, that leads to inflammation, and that can lead, or that can contribute to, conditions such as polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, or even PMDD and endometriosis, hormonal imbalance, mood swings, period pain, etc. And that can also cause acne and skin problems as well. So when I learned all that, and when I discovered all that, I got really angry, because I felt like I had been subjected to the beauty industry. You know, think of like the L'Oreal's and the Maybellines and, you know, I know L'Oreal own like every single makeup brand, but like all of these cosmetics industries, and even the cleaning products you use in your home. Even think about deodorants and nail varnishes and toothpaste and face cream. And I made a list. I sat down and I made a list of all of the products that I use every day. And to my horror, there was like a full A4 page of things. You know, if you think about it, it's like even basic things like toothpaste, maybe some face cream, a face wash, maybe a toner, a deodorant, perhaps a body wash, shampoo, conditioner, you know, maybe some lip balm. And even that, like lip balm, like Vaseline I was using at the time, it's coming from petroleum, which itself is an endocrine disruptor. So I realized like, holy fucking hell, excuse my French, I have been unknowingly putting all of these toxins onto my body, because I felt like that's what you should do. These are the products that supermarkets sell, and these are all contributing to my hormone problems. What the hell? And no doctor knows about this, and no doctor has told me about this, and no holistic health person has told me about this. I know they are talking about it now, but back then, like 10 years ago, they weren't. And I was just really angry, because I felt like, you know, I'd been harming my body without myself knowing about it. And the reason I had been doing that was because I didn't feel good enough, and I felt like I had to look a certain way. And then I realized, well, that's what the beauty industry wants. It's positioning itself on profiting from the objectification of women, essentially. And, you know, because we live in this patriarchal, misogynistic, white supremacist, capitalist society, women and other people from other minority groups, you know, we don't, like I talked about in the episode on power, in episode 31, the, you know, leaning into the beauty industry is a way that we reclaim and claim power. And I think, like I said, it's an amazing thing. I love cosmetics and I love makeup and I love getting done up and getting my hair done and getting my nails done. But if we're doing it from a place of shoulds and not good enoughness, then we're overloading ourselves with all of these cosmetics every day, every day, every month, every week. And then that then leads to this buildup of all of these chemicals that our body is trying to get rid of and then can cause and lead to and contribute to period menstrual problems or menopausal problems or even other endocrine problems, hormonal problems in the body, thyroid issues. So it's really something to think about is like, how are we giving away our power to the beauty industry and how is it harming us? But how can we reclaim that for ourselves and have a relationship with cosmetics and our own sense of beauty and our own, you know, self-image, etc. And even like the products you choose to use for cleaning your house and washing your clothes, you know, like you can reclaim that relationship for yourself in a way that is like, I like to describe like an 80-20 approach, where it's like 80% of the time you try to keep all the products as clean and paraben free as possible, and then like 20% of the time you might have products you really like. Like I have some friends who really don't like using the deodorants that don't contain aluminium because they don't feel they work for them. I personally don't. I have aluminium free deodorants that I use, and I have other stronger toxic deodorants as well for like days I need it, which is rare, but you know, so that you have these things. So that's what I wanted to talk about really, is like, really, like, what is our relationship with beauty? What's our relationship with the beauty industry? How are we allowing this to impact us? What are we putting on our skin? What are we putting on our body? And how is that potentially impacting our hormones? And to not run away from the beauty industry and the cosmetics industry, because like I said, it can be really a lovely thing in your life, but for it not to be ruling, you know, for it not to be running the show for you, but rather for you to be in the driver's seat with this. And at the moment, I'm someone who's on Instagram. I also have a lot of friends who are not in the space that I work in. And my sister, I talk about this to her a lot as well. The skincare industry has exploded in the last couple of years. And it's become a really, really popular topic of discussion amongst friends. I love learning about skincare too. And there's, you know, all of these companies like The Ordinary and The Clean Beauty, or what are they called? The Ordinary and The Inky List, and all these, you know, great companies where you can get a really affordable skincare and really good ingredients. And then there's, you know, I've seen skincare specialists in Ireland getting a lot of airtime in mainstream media. And it is really exciting because skincare, and then the whole like Korean skincare movement as well, like skincare has become much more accessible. Now you don't have to spend an awful lot of money to get really good quality ingredients if you want to do like more like in-depth cleanses and face masks and using acids and retinols and all of these anti-aging things. But I would also question that as well, because a lot of those brands do include endocrine disruptors. And to be really mindful of like, what else are we adding on to our skin in terms of makeup and skincare? And it really, even though I think it's great and I think it's a fantastic thing that we have access to these products, it's also playing into, I think, more again, the objectification of women and the not good enoughness and perfectionism, and then also ageism and this like fight against aging and this like, you know, you can't have wrinkles and you can't have gray hair and, you know, getting Botox and all that. And again, I think, you know, my feminism is very liberal and I like to think that everyone should have a choice, but I think it's really important that people have informed consent about this stuff and they have informed choice, because I know myself, like when I went through that period of using all the skincare and the cosmetics in my 20s and even in my teens and doing lots of facials, I will say it was coming from a place of needing to fix and change and not being good enough in myself. and then not knowing that all those products were leading to hormonal imbalance in my body. And that is not a price that I'm willing to pay for beauty. I'm not willing to pay hormonal problems and endocrine problems and thyroid problems and fertility problems and more endometriosis and having to get more surgery and having to medicate myself more, you know, for buying into this kind of insane beauty industry. So I just wanted to open up that conversation with you today because I've seen it grow, I've seen it expand. It is really exciting, but at the same time, I'm questioning, are we paying a price for that? So I'd love to recommend an app that you can use. And one of my, a former client actually, and a listener of mine, Yvonne, who's down in, I believe she's down in Cork with her little baba, her new baba at the moment. She messaged me recently and recommended this app called Yuka. So I think it's Y-U-K-A. I'll link it in the show notes. And I downloaded it and I pay, I think, a very small fee for it every year. But it's absolutely fantastic. I can go into any supermarket or any pharmacy or any health food store and it has a barcode scanner and it scans the barcode of the product you want to buy. Usually it's mostly cosmetics and beauty products and then also some food products. And then it can tell you, it rates the products in terms of parabens and like toxin load. And then it rates them with color and like out of 100. So you can get a product, say I scanned, you know, I think I scanned a shampoo and it was like 0 out of 100 and it came up as red. And then it gives you the reasons why. And then it then also gives you the scientific studies and the research around those chemicals. And then it explains in simple English why the chemicals in that particular shampoo could be harmful. And so it'll say things like has been shown to cause negative impacts on fertility and sex hormones and, you know, has been shown to contribute to an increase in carcinogens, etc. And then it has like you can get something like 30 out of 100 and then it'll show up as an amber kind of orange color. And then it'll have green for the good or excellent products. So I've discovered some amazing products using that app and you can buy. It's so interesting because I was with Richard, my partner, in various shops and we were scanning products and he was like holding things in his hands while I was scanning things and we were like discussing it. And you know, even in health food shops, you go into these shops and you know, and I love health food shops, I'm not gonna criticize them, but some of the products that they stock unbeknownst to them could also have endocrine disruptors in their ingredients, but on the label they use terms like organic and natural and good for you or clean beauty, and all these are just very general English words that have no legal binding. So just be really mindful of that. If something says natural, or even if something says paraben free, it might have another type of endocrine disruptor or toxin that can cause harm. So that has helped me a lot because I then now go into health food shops and supermarkets. And it's so interesting because I found I was using like a body wash that I thought was really healthy and clean that I bought and I spent a lot of money on in the health food shop, only to find that it was only coming up as like a 30 out of 100 on the app. And now I go into my local supermarket and I buy one of the mainstream brands of paraben-free body wash and it's like 100 out of 100. And it's so interesting and it's cheaper. So I go for that now. So yeah, so I just want you to consider all that, to consider maybe your history with your, you know, where your relationship with beauty and cosmetics comes from. How was it shaped? How were you informed in school, at home, with other women? And then how is it shaped and formed now? What influences are you having? And I am definitely noticing for myself, like, I don't actively go onto the internet and look for information and advertisements on cosmetics and skincare, but it is being bombarded at me left, right, and center. And maybe it's because I'm in my 30s, but I don't think so. I think that there's a huge wave happening, at least here in Ireland. I know it is in the UK and in the States as well, of like skincare and anti-aging and Botox, etc. I don't have anything against Botox, but it's just more like asking ourselves the relationship with it and how are we using it? Is it coming from a place of not being good enough? Is it coming from a place of internalized ageism? Is it, you know, coming from a place of needing to find power because we don't feel we have power in other parts of our lives? And are we paying a price for that? Are we paying a price in terms of our hormonal health for that? And that's the question I want to leave with you today. So I'm going to leave the link for the book that I mentioned at the start in the show notes. I'm going to leave the link for the app as well. And I'm also going to leave the link for an amazing website called The Clean Beauty Edit, which is an Irish company. It's an Irish online company that sells beautiful makeup and cosmetics. Now, it is pricey. Well, not always, but it can be on the higher end. But it's well worth getting yourself a gift every now and then if you want to get a nice clean foundation. I really like the Juice Beauty and the Ilia brands. And I'm really glad to offer you a 10% discount off the Clean Beauty Edit as well. If you use the discount code LISA10, you'll get 10% off your overall checkout as well with the Clean Beauty Edit. And they tend to also give free testers as well with every order. You can try out new products. And I bought a lot of really nice things from there and I've really enjoyed using them. And their packaging is all environmentally friendly and compostable too, which is really appreciated. So that's it for today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And if you are interested in working with me one-to-one, let me know. And as I said at the start, I have a few grants available for people who are needing a little bit more financial assistance. So head on over to my website, lisadioncoaching.com. I offer a 3-month container where we can go deep into your well-being, your health, your menstrual cycle, healing trauma, any kind of chronic pain. And also I do work as well with people who are wanting to live more cyclically with their businesses and with their work life as well and prevent burnout. So that's it for me. I hope you have a lovely rest of your week and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week and see you next time.